Eternal God, open our minds to hear your word, our hearts to love your word, and our lives to be obedient to your word. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All during high school and college, I worked at a summer camp in New Hampshire, and at the end of our staff training week, we would go on a staff trip, a little outing together to kind of bond and have fun before all the campers arrived and summer became busy. And the summer I was a program director, I took the staff to this beautiful beach on the coast of Maine. I have a picture that I took that day. It's this beautiful little park that is also home to a pre-World War military fort, but there's the lighthouse and there's the boardwalk thing you can go out, and it's just this beautiful beachy area, fun to explore. We had a great day hanging out and having fun until we saw a huge storm starting to roll in off the ocean. It was moving fast, the wind was starting to blow, it was starting to rain a little bit. We could see the lightning and hear the thunder, and I had like 30 young high school, college students scattered around the beach. So with quick thinking, I gathered them all together and I said, let's go to the observation tower of this old military fort and we'll seek shelter there during the storm. So we all climbed up into this shelter. There was barely room for all of us to fit in there. But we had this fortress literally keeping us safe during the storm. And I took this picture and I thought to myself, this will be a great sermon illustration to use someday. But then we heard a siren and a voice calling through a megaphone that said, is anyone up there in the tower? So as the leader of the group, I opened the door and I stepped out, and this park ranger was looking up at us and she said, you have to get down from there. It's not safe to be up there during a storm. People have been struck by lightning when they've been up there. So we all come out, and as 30 of us are climbing out of this apparent death trap, I'm standing next to the park ranger, and she says, I know this seems like a safe place to take shelter in a storm, but it's not. And that's why we always check to make sure that there's no one sheltering there. I want to be a little bit like your park ranger today and check to see where you're choosing to shelter during a storm, places that might seem like a safe place, but actually won't keep you safe. We might think these places will protect us, but the psalmist reminds us that there is nothing we can take shelter in to keep us safe except God alone. Today we're looking at three psalms, Psalm 61, 62, and 63. There's a lot of similar themes that work well together to remind us to find shelter in God. There's a lot we could say about all of these psalms that we don't have time to cover, so I'm going to focus just on this idea of finding shelter in God alone. I encourage you to have your Bibles open so you can follow along as we look through three of these psalms together. We'll start with Psalm 61. Psalm 61 reminds us not to find shelter in ourselves. Psalm 61 begins with a cry to God for help. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The first word of the psalm is Shema, hear. But it has a stronger meaning than that. It's a request to listen carefully, to listen with intelligence, to listen with intention, to obey and respond. The psalmist is in desperate need of God answering his prayer. The psalmist cries out, pay attention, respond to me, God. The psalmist is crying out from the ends of the earth. In the psalmist context, you might think about this as the border of the land. For the psalmist, God's temple in Jerusalem was the center of the earth. So the ends of the earth, or the borders of the land, would have been far off from Jerusalem. Perhaps the psalmist was off at battle and far from home. But metaphorically, it could mean anyone who feels far off from God, far from God's dwelling place. So we're getting a picture of this desperate prayer, someone crying out to God, begging God to pay attention and respond to their prayers. They feel far off from home. They feel far from God's presence. They have come to the limits of their own self. The psalmist says, I call as my heart grows faint. He's losing strength within himself. His whole being is running out of energy. We sense the powerlessness and vulnerability of the psalmist in the moment of this prayer. Let's pause for a second and check in with how we are feeling as we read these verses. I have some questions for us to reflect on the screen. What do you feel in your body as you hear the psalmist's prayer to God? Have you ever come to the end of yourself, your own strength? Where have you looked for shelter in a moment like this? When moments like this come, the psalmist reminds us not to find shelter in ourselves. The psalmist cries out, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The psalmist looks to God to be the shelter in the storm, a safe place above the rising waters and troubles of life. When faced with situations, problems, enemies that are bigger and more powerful than us, we are invited along with the psalmist to find shelter in God, not in ourselves, the rock that is higher than I. The resources of our own selves are not sufficient to survive the storms of life. Our own achievements, strength, willpower, reason might seem like safe places to seek shelter when life is hard, like seeking shelter in a military fortress on the coast of Maine. But as the park ranger reminded me, something that seems like a safe place to shelter might not actually be a place that will protect you. This is an invitation to seek security in something higher, something beyond yourself, something more sure. So this plea to God is an acknowledgement of humility. Frederico Villanueva writes that this verse is an acknowledgement of our own limitations and at the same time a recognition of the power of God. Because while we are limited, God is powerful and God can protect us from any storm. God alone is a safe shelter. And the psalmist knows he can trust God to be his safe shelter because God has been his shelter in a storm before. The psalm continues, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever, to take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." These verses draw upon lots of imagery of the temple, God's dwelling place. So the psalmist reminds us that it's God's very presence, God's dwelling place, that is a shelter for us. God has been a safe shelter before, and God will be a safe shelter once again. So the psalmist reminds us not to find shelter in ourselves, but in God alone. And then we turn to Psalm 62. In this psalm, the psalmist reminds us not to find shelter in worldly powers or possessions. While Psalm 61 begins with a desperate cry for help in a desperate situation, Psalm 62 begins with a declaration of trust in God as the only safe place. The psalmist declares, God is my salvation, my rock, my fortress. No matter what storms are coming in his life, he believes that he will never be shaken. The psalmist is secure and safe in the shelter of God. The psalmist says he finds rest for his soul in God alone. He knows that there is nothing else that can provide this kind of security and safety. And we might think that if he's beginning the psalm with this declaration, maybe he's not in the season of desperately crying out for help. Maybe he's in a season where everything is going well and it's easy to say, God will keep me safe. But if we read on, we see that the psalmist declares this not just when things are going well, but in the midst of real and ongoing trouble. He describes how people are assaulting him. They're trying to topple him from his lofty place. They lie and they curse. So the psalmist is faced with people attacking his reputation, his place of power. They're trying to disparage and dishonor him. And yet, while these enemies may have a plan of attack, they have not taken God and God's protection into account. So the psalmist knows that their plans will not succeed. Therefore, the psalmist continues to seek shelter in God alone to protect him. He says he finds his honor in God, not in his position of power, his lofty place, or his reputation, the lies being told about him. The psalmist does not try to take shelter in maintaining power or a name for himself. But oh, how tempting that is. We think having power will protect us. Having a certain kind of job will make us secure. Having the resources to live in a wealthy suburb will keep us safe. Having certain titles or degrees will bring stability to our lives. But the psalmist reminds us how worthless such shelters are, because he continues on and he says, "The lowborn are but a breath, and the highborn are but a lie. If weighed together on a balance, they are nothing." This is a humbling metaphor. Not just one of us individually on a scale to weigh our worth, but all of us collectively together, whether we are of the lowest class or the highest class, no matter what powers or privileges we have. I picture taking all of humanity, all of our stuff we think will protect us and is so important, all the privileges we think we have that will give us a leg up in life. We pile it all on this great scale, and even that doesn't move the scale even a little bit. Altogether, they are nothing. We cannot shelter ourselves from the storms of life with our power, positions, and possessions. Let's pause again and check in how we're feeling as we read these verses. It's quite humbling to be told that altogether we weigh nothing. How does this metaphor sit with you? I wonder if, as you hear this, is there any power, position, or possession in your life that you cling to that you feel would move the scale at all? How have you used your power, position, or possessions as a source of shelter in the storms of life? The psalmist goes on to explicitly warn us not to find shelter in these things. He says in verse 10, "Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them." Do not think acquiring more wealth or getting ahead by exploiting others will bring you any more security in life. Not only should we not find shelter in power, position, or possessions in life, the psalmist reminds us not to trust in the same things as powerful people. We don't have to look far to see how powerful people will do anything to gain wealth and how they live as though such wealth protects them from the consequences of being human. It's tempting to believe that if we also follow this path, we can have some protection in life. But the psalmist says, do not set your heart on this. Do not rely on this way of life, thinking it will shelter you from the storms of life. Our power, position, and possessions in life might seem like a good place to take shelter in the storms of life, but such things are actually powerless to protect you. The psalmist says that all power belongs to God. The psalmist reminds us that while others are trying to topple him and spread lies, while others put their hope in riches and exploiting others for gain, he is sheltered safely in the refuge of God. And we are invited to choose the same. We are reminded to find shelter in God alone. And finally, we turn to Psalm 63. In this psalm, the psalmist reminds us not to find shelter in the stability of life. This psalm is about the rhythms of life with God. The psalmist is seeking, thirsting, seeing, being filled, worshiping, rejoicing. Denise Domkowski Hopkins goes even further to call this a body-based prayer, meaning it uses the physical experiences of life lived in the body to describe life with God. In this psalm, the psalmist talks about a thirsty throat, fainting flesh, beholding eyes, praising lips, lifted hands, a clinging person, the upholding hand of God, the mouth of liars. It's lots of embodied language to describe what is happening in life. As we read this psalm, we feel it in our bodies. As the psalmist says he thirsts for God, we feel it in our throats. We know what it is to thirst and long for water. As the psalmist says he'll be fully satisfied, we feel it in our stomachs. We know what it is to be full after a delicious meal. In this one psalm, we see both ends of the extreme, both a season of thirst and a season of satisfaction. These seasons could come after long stretches of feeling thirsty and longing for God, followed by another season of feeling fully satisfied in God's presence. But I think this psalm is talking about an even more daily rhythm than that. Verse 1 says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you." The word seek here comes from the word for daybreak or to dawn. This verse has an implied image of getting up early in the morning and diligently setting about a task. First thing in the morning, the psalmist is setting about the task of searching for God. But the psalmist says it begins with feeling like he's in a dry and parched land. He says, "I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." We can picture a hot desert where there's no shade, no shelter. Even if we've never been in a desert with no water, our bodies can still make sense of this feeling of desperate thirst. The psalmist is seeking God and longing to be satisfied. But this up in the morning, searching for, thirsting for God is contrasted by verse 6. "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you, your right hand upholds me." So while at the beginning of the day, the psalmist was in a desert searching for God, in verse 6, the psalmist is cozy and safely in bed. By bedtime, the psalmist is securely sheltered in the presence of God, and he finds comfort through the night, remembering who God is. So even in one day, the psalmist experiences thirst and satisfaction, searching for God and being upheld by God's hand, struggling in a dry desert and safely in the shadow of God's wing. Many of us can relate to this feeling of instability in life. Whether it's the season of life you're in right now or a previous season of your life, where daily life feels like a roller coaster ride. One minute you feel calm and like you have a handle on things, and then another storm is coming. Maybe it feels like constant storms keep hitting. Whether financial, physical, relational, emotional. Many of us long for a season of life when we don't have one more thing throwing us for a loop, challenging our sense of peace, upending our sense of security and predictability. We find ourselves longing to take shelter in the stability of life. I have one more set of questions for us to consider as we read these verses. As this body-based prayer, what do you feel in your body as you think about the psalmist's imagery of both thirsting for God and being satisfied in God? Do you relate more closely to one part of the prayer? Where have you looked for shelter in moments of thirst? Where have you looked for shelter in moments of satisfaction? Whether in thirst or in satisfaction, the psalmist does not find shelter in the stability of life. In the verses between the morning thirst and the bedtime satisfaction, the psalmist finds shelter in God alone. The psalmist has a regular rhythm of seeking God in the temple, of worshiping God. So when he finds himself thirsting for God, he calls to mind what he has known to be true about God all along. Beth Tanner writes that the psalmist provides the solution to the longing not by changing his geographic location, but by activating his memory. Sometimes we can't change our geographic location. Sometimes we can't change the circumstances of our life, the season of life that we're in. But we can still find shelter in God by remembering who God is. The psalmist says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and upheld your power and glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. While the psalmist cannot find shelter in the stability of life, he can find shelter in the unchanging love of God. The psalmist declares that God's love is better than life. What God provides for us is better than even what ordinarily sustains life. The psalmist compares searching for and being satisfied in God to the basic necessities of life, to water and food. But knowing God's love is even more satisfying than taking a long drink of cold water after being in a desert on a hot day. It's even more satisfying than having the best meal of your life. God's steadfast love, God's commitment to us, is more consistent, a better shelter in the storms of life than anything else. Whether you feel right now like you are thirsty in a desert or cozy in bed after a delicious dinner, God's love is constant. No matter the season of life, shelter in God alone. So as we look over these three psalms, the psalmist reminds us to find shelter in God alone. In each of these psalms, we find similar themes about the harsh realities of life. Storms, threats, exhaustion, temptation, desert lands, instability. But even more consistently throughout these psalms, we hear the psalmist turn to God no matter the circumstances of life, reminding us that God is our rock. God is our refuge. God is our strong tower. God is our salvation. God is our help. When the storms of life come, where are you seeking shelter? In yourself? In your power? In your possessions? In your stability in life? Or are you seeking shelter in God alone? The rock that is higher than us. The one more powerful than anyone or anything on earth. The one whose love is better than life. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Amen.